Welcome to Coming From Experience, my virtual campfire where we can all gather round and share our experiences through this little thing called life. I'm your host, Annalise, and I'm here to bring you the raddest people I've come to know, sharing their stories of growth, evolution, and their unique take on universal experiences. The stories and experiences I bring to you in this podcast will span a wide variety of topics, from career changes to motherhood, personal development, spirituality, growth in relationship, health and wellness, and so much more. I hope that these stories inspire you and open up a portal for deep connection and conversation on topics that would otherwise be left untouched. Let's dive in. Finding what you had in mind. Hey, Bridge, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh.
Nervous, but all good.
First guest for like a long while. I feel like I ebb and flow in this creative part of myself, but that's cool. But I'm happy to have you as a guest and to be riffing with someone, and we have great conversations. So I know this will be fun.
Oh, thank you. I'm the same. I think we have seasons, right?
Exactly. I know. I feel like I should implement like a legitimate season to my podcast because it would make so much more sense, but I can't even predict when that would be. Before we dive in, the question I like to ask every guest is, how do you spend your day? What does a day look like for you? Give us an insight into you in all aspects.
Okay. My days are
never the same.
Every day, but the same at the same time. So I have four children. So my day has some level of the same every day. But typically a day for me is I get up at about 5:30 and I'll go for a run or a walk because mama needs some time to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I'm back, munchkins are up in my face. So we do the whole breakfast thing, which is usually fairly chaotic with four humans.
Yeah.
Off to school. Some days I have them by myself because all of them are at school or kinder except for our babe. And those are the days where I work. Mm-hmm. I will, work on my business. I'll do my energy healings. I'll be coaching with clients. Whatever is required in that, I do on, you know, the 2 days that I have by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest of the days, I'll usually have my four-year-old with me as well. So we'll just do whatever is required to entertain him. And to be honest, I'm honestly in the kitchen all the time. There's always food being prepared. So I'm usually in the kitchen, pick up the kids. We might have swimming after school. Otherwise, it's just literally dinner and get them to bed as soon as possible.
Kind of like Groundhog Day in a way.
A little bit. It's really, my day is not super exciting. Then once they're in bed, that's when I get my time. So I'll either study on a course that I'm doing at the moment. I'll hang out with hubby.
Mm.
Just read, just do the things that fill me up. Sometimes I'll do my embodiment practice then, or I'll meditate, or I'll just crash in bed. So that's pretty much a weekday for us. There's nothing too exciting. We're all just a bit chaotic in this house, and I think that just it feeds a lot of drama in our household, and so it feels busy, but really when you look at the nuts and bolts of it, that's our day.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's a bit of everything. I mean, it would be a lot with six people. Like, that's a big household. Lots of energy.
Yeah.
For those playing along at home, can you share your human design and your astrology if you know them?
So human design, I am a 4-6 emotional manifesting generator.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of energy.
Lots.
And my astrology is Sun is in Virgo, Moon is Sagittarius, and Rising is Aries.
Cool. And it's funny because you're a Virgo, but like you're on the cusp of Leo, right?
Yeah. Just
not far off it.
No. So, am I? I don't know. I thought Leo started.
Leo ends on the 23rd of August, I think.
Yes. And I'm.
Or something like that. Like really cuspy.
Right on the cusp, which is funny because I'm very Virgo, I think.
I see Virgo in you, but I think that's where the Aries fire is. Like, I'm seeing that because, you know, your rising is always like kind of
I mean, I'm not an astrology expert, but it's like how you're perceived or like the energy you put out. And I feel like that fire energy, I was picking up on like Leo, but maybe that's coming from the Aries, like the fire in you.
Yes, so true. I do have a lot of passion, and I get very fired up about things, and I've never really known how to place that. So that doesn't fit in with Virgo.
Yeah.
But yeah, you might be right. It might be that Aries.
I think so. And even like the MG in you and like the initiator fire starter energy in that like aligns so beautifully with the Aries too. Like the first house, like really leading, like initiating, and like people probably see that in you more than you see it in yourself. I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Virgo, I feel like every Virgo I meet is just like, oh yeah, I'm a Virgo. Like I am the quintessential Virgo.
I think we do. I think we feel like we need to
like
help other people understand. Yeah, help people understand why we're such perfectionists and why we are the way we are. And we like things to be ordered in the way that they're ordered, and we like to be in charge and all of those things. I feel like that needs to be explained sometimes. I'm like, listen, I'm just a Virgo. Yeah. You'll understand.
You'll get used to me. Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm a Cancer Sun and a Cancer Moon. So I'm like, I'm just emotional, guys. Okay.
I get it. I have a Cancer babe and yeah, I get it.
So tell me about your kids, because you have four kids, and without obviously like telling too much about them, but do you have many like more boys than girls?
Yeah. Or? So I've got a 9-year-old girl who's amazing. She is such a grounding force in our family. Thank God for her, honestly. Three boys. So a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 16-month-old. And boys are mad. Like everybody has always said, oh, they're so cuddly and they're so like such mama's boys. I'm like, I lucked out three times because they're truly so chaotic, so loud. And I understand the testosterone element but it's just, you'll probably hear them in the background, but they're just crazy. And I love them for it, but holy moly, sometimes it's just like, give me a break. I really thought I'd have another girl somewhere in there, but clearly there was another plan for me.
Did you always see yourself having four kids? Because that's not very traditional.
Good question. It's funny, growing up I was always like, I either want two or I want four. I don't want to be the standard three. And that's just classic me trying to be different and
perfect.
Perfect, yes.
Two or fours.
Even. And then I was with a guy for 8 years before I got together with my husband, and I was like, I don't want any kids. I'm not really enough. I was like,
I don't want any kids with you.
With you. I didn't realize that till later. I was like, oh, maybe I don't want children. I also didn't want his surname. Like, that must say something. And then, yeah, so I kind of didn't, I wrote it off for a while, and then got together with Dave, and I was like, let's have all the children. And he, I said to him, how many kids do you want? And he was like, four would be great. And I was like, no, wait, this is hilarious. Anyway, we got to having three, and he was about two, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, you know what, this is good. Like, we're at a point now where we're able to actually have a complete conversation together. Kids can kind of go and play by themselves. I remember we were on the beach and we just looked at each other and went, yeah, I think that's it. And I always felt a little bit like, oh, there's another one waiting for me, but I was content. I was happy. And I'm like, okay, good. Mind you, I literally just cleaned out baby clothes last week. And I had all my eldest, all of her clothes still from when she was a baby. Like, I hoard with this stuff. Clearly wasn't done. And anyway, and then by some wild Mother Mary miracle, our fourth came into our world, and we still don't know how that happened.
That was a surprise.
Total surprise. And literally, like, the dates don't add up. And it just doesn't make sense how he came into the world. And it's funny because the week before I found out, I was working as an osteo at the time. I said to one of my clients who I knew, she wanted four as well, and she had three at the time. And I said, I know logistically I'm done. Like, it just feels a little bit harder, the thought of how are we going to fit in four. But my soul just knows there's another one there for me. And then literally the week after, I did a test, and like all my kids, it was like I ran out and bought tampons and a pregnancy test. Like, I don't know. And that should be a telltale sign. And I was shocked. We were shocked. Like,
wow.
Completely. And I don't think I really landed in my body completely with that pregnancy and really owned it and didn't hold shame around it, which is sad to say, until I was about 15 to 20 weeks pregnant with him. And then I felt okay. Like, I couldn't hide it anymore. First time, it's like, you're popping. And that's when I kind of went, all right, I think I'm okay to actually really tell people and stop trying to wear big baggy clothes. You can hear him screaming in the background now. But yeah, so four, and it feels beautiful. It's been a really interesting 16 months. Definitely much more challenging than any of the others were in terms of my mental space, but I'm also older now. So it's been difficult, but it's beautiful. Four is amazing. I love the idea of having a tribe. So it's been good. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was obviously meant to come through. Like, I don't think you had a choice.
I remember being like 5 weeks pregnant and messaging a girlfriend who is psychic, and I was like, look, I just need to know whether this is meant to be, because you always, most women who have had babies, there's sort of like this little time frame when you, before you even have had scans or you even know, you know, is this all going to be okay? There's this moment of fear that comes in. And even though I knew in my body that everything was fine, I was just sitting there going, I feel like I can't move because I'm scared that it's not going to work out. And I messaged her and I was like, do you feel like this is going to be okay? And she's like, look, I think your body's working really hard to hold on to this baby. So I must have known that, I don't know, something was going on. But she said, there's a baby boy coming like a freight train to you. And I was like, no, it has to be a girl. and then we didn't find out the sex for him. He was the only one. But I knew it was a boy the whole way through. Yeah, it was, he was meant to be here for so many different reasons, and some I've explored and some I haven't, but yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to know, just them being here is enough.
Absolutely.
I think it's an interesting point that you raised, and if you're happy to go into it, I'd love to explore it a bit more, but like, where do you think that shame was coming through around those earlier weeks in pregnancy and the fourth one? Like, you'd think at that point you'd be like a pro, nailed it. So what was kind of like coming up?
Totally. I wasn't afraid that I wouldn't, maybe there was a little bit of fear that I wouldn't be able to do it again, just with the other kids needing me so much. But the shame piece was just around social judgment. And I think when you have three, everyone's like, wow, yeah, you've got your hands full. When you have four, people are like, what? You're crazy. And like, I had people have conversations with me that were shocking. Saying, oh, I just don't know how you're going to do it, and I just think that's too many, and what are you going to do? And my doctor, the first thing she said when I went, and I love my doctor, and I know that she was just coming from a place of covering all bases, but she said, do you want to keep this baby or are we here for termination?
Oh, wow.
My other three kids there, and they didn't know why we were at the doctor. And I just wanted to burst into tears because I thought, how indispensable is life to some people, and how quick are we to judge, thinking that he wasn't welcomed? Because he absolutely was. We had made up our minds not to have another, but at the same time, we obviously hadn't, because he's here.
If
you make up your mind, then you take absolutely every precaution, right? And I felt shameful because I thought people wouldn't think that I could cope, because I was afraid that I wouldn't cope. Those difficult conversations that women were having with me, saying, how are you going to do this? And at the time I felt so emotionally vulnerable that I didn't turn around and say what I probably would say now and go, can I swear on this? I would just say, fuck off, you know, like, this is not your life. This is mine. And I'm so happy to be extending my family. But I really, it was a real pivotal moment with one woman, and she had two kids, and she was this fit, amazing, you know, sweet, she's really lovely woman, but she was just projecting so much of her own limitation onto me, and I felt like this giant whale who had three crazy kids already, and I'm standing there like, please stop this conversation right now. And I walked away really upset from that, and I realized in that moment what it was to be projected on by other people, and for them to just go, I wouldn't cope, so I can't imagine how you will. And it just allowed me to separate myself from being really entwined in those kinds of conversations and say, you know what, this has been gifted to me because I can handle it. And if mm-hmm. I can't handle it, then we figure out a way to call in support. And maybe that's what I'm meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so it allowed me to really separate and to land even more in the pregnancy, because that activates a fierce protective mechanism mm. within you when somebody's talking bad about your babe. Like, mm. I thought, he's not even here yet and you're already showing me that I can't cope because you think that this is crazy and four is just too many. And at the same time, another woman at school fell pregnant by surprise with her fifth, and she was hiding it, and I could feel it in her energy. She was like, oh God, you know, we're having another. And I was just like beaming with excitement for her, because I think, oh my God, I'm one of five. And there's so much beauty in the chaos of all the noise and the joy and the excitement of a little brood. Like people forget that, and they just think, how are you going to manage them? And that's where we're missing the point, is that I think if you're trying to manage your humans, your little people, then, yeah, it's going to be really hard and it's going to feel like a lot. And I can tell when we drop into that, because it gets really hard and they're so strong that they will resist you. But when you're there to just experience life with them and you're just here to guide them and not feel like you need to tell them how to be them, and it's this beautiful exchange that takes place. And so I would not have really arrived at that had I not had our youngest, who's currently screaming.
I love it.
I just think there's so much beauty in it. And as soon as I arrived at that point, I was able to let go of a lot of the shame. And now it's literally like we walk anywhere and I am like mama bear at the front of her tribe. And I'm so proud of them and I'm so proud of us, even though I see how much we're fucking them up sometimes. And I think, oh God, what are we doing? But yeah, I think shame can come in any form. And when you're pregnant and you feel exposed and you feel like you lose connection at certain points with the sacred nature of pregnancy, then that can creep in and you feel the pressure of society. I think that's the only place it comes from. I definitely didn't hold any shame around it myself, like generated from me. Yep. But I just felt like, oh God, people are going to look at us and think, how many more can you have? Like, only because I felt like we were chaotic to begin with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. So. And I feel like what you've highlighted here is just like how influenced we are by society and societal norms and what makes sense and the 2.5 kids and what society tells you to be versus what feels good for you. Like, this is what it used to be. Like, this was normal. Like, for our parents' generations or even their parents' generation, it was the more the merrier. And kids are such great teachers. I obviously don't have any kids, but I love being around kids. They're just like pure light beams. They're full of joy. They teach you to surrender and go with the flow and bring out that childlikeness within yourself as well. And like you said, they're not here to be controlled. You don't own them. They're not possessions. They are their own being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's difficult to ignore that social pressure, because as soon as you announce it, people automatically go to logistics. So it was like, oh, you're going to have to get a van. You're going to have to get this. So the kids are going to have to share a room. And what are you going to do about this? Are you going to have to move? Are you going to be able to afford to send the kids to school still? And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And it takes away from the absolute divine beauty of bringing a child into the world. And people are not, some people are, but most people aren't connected enough to the process to be able to celebrate that side of it with you.
Yeah.
And they just look at, how is this going to impact your life, your finances, all of the logistics in your life? And it's such a boring conversation.
Yeah. And it's just lack and scarcity and uncertainty, and nothing is certain. And you choose lack mindset if you want to be in that versus like abundance for kids. People would pray for that and wish for that and hope for that. And it's funny because I feel like there's either end of the spectrum of not having kids and you're like, what's wrong with you for not having kids, or having too many kids. It's like, what's wrong with you for having so many kids? Like, real weird.
Yeah. And even those who have one, it's like, when are you having the other? And then they have two and they're like, are you done? Are you going to have another one? And you have three and you're like, oh, you must be done, right? Like, there's always that projection. And I think it takes very strong people to ignore that and to be in sacred union with themselves and know exactly what's right for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. It's just, I guess it's interesting because we're seeing people change the narrative around that more and more. I see people on social media in particular who really advocate for like that sacredness in pregnancy and, you know, demanding things and making requests and saying, you know, no, you can't just drop in unannounced and no, you can't just do this, and really changing that landscape. And then on top of that, and I know this is something that you do as well, is like not sharing identity of your children, which I feel like is a big push and a big movement towards that. And one I can really, really respect. What does that decision come down to for you? Is that just, I mean, you tell me.
Yeah. I don't show the kids' faces on social media at all. I did for a short period of time and it always felt a bit icky. And I think the intention behind that was because it was like, well, this is my life and I'm just sharing my life so people will connect with this. And then I was like, you know what? What changed it for me was two things. First one was they're not giving me their permission to show their faces. They're not giving me their permission to plaster them all over the internet for anybody to see and for other people to experience. I also feel an element now of they're my babes that I get to raise and experience. If you want to experience them, you come and experience them through connection with us, not just let me get to know what's going on in your life and scroll through and look at your kids kind of thing. So I'm just here to honor their privacy.
Yeah.
And they can make that choice for themselves when they're older. But that was kind of the initial reason. The second reason is just all the crazy pedophilia and all the disgustingness that's online.
The perverted stuff.
I just would not. And this is no judgment to anybody who does, because I think you do what feels right for you with the knowledge that you have, right? But I just don't feel right exploiting my children when they may not know, may not consent to that. My own purposes and my own benefit. There's just too many creeps and too much that goes on out there that we're not willing to see all of the time. And my job is to protect my children.
Yeah.
So I just would not share their faces ever.
Yeah.
I'll show the back of them occasionally, but it won't be on anything permanent, as in like it won't be on my grid or anything.
No, I think it's a good movement. And I think it's an interesting one because like our parents didn't have to deal with this. They didn't have social media and instant like realities and constantly posting stuff like, if you wanted to see my kid, you'd have to come visit or you'd have to come look at a photo album, like very, very different landscape. And it's so interesting because it's like, especially, and like, again, each to their own, a lot of people make a lot of money out of their babies, which is a little bit like, ugh, to me. But there are those people that, get endorsements and things like that. But it's like that child has no clue as to what's going on. And then they're going to get to age 15 or 16 and be like, oh, my mum used to post about me, or like I have no autonomy or anonymity. And like, I'm just, you know, I think people don't have the far-sightedness to see like there are ramifications to that. And like, yeah, it's all about choice. Like, yes, you're their parent. Yes, they're your baby. Yes, it's exciting. But also like they are their own entity. Like they might not choose this for themselves. But I do think it's an interesting conversation and interesting thing that we're seeing.
I think so as well. And I think that very much leads into this whole idea of why are we needing to share everything online? I am so fiercely protective of that. So if I'm catching up with friends, if I'm catching up with family, if I'm hanging out with my family, I do not have my phone on me. I'll take photos of the kids, obviously, when they're doing cute things just to mark that moment in time for ourselves, but I think we're missing the point.
Yes.
The point of connection. We're trying to connect via an app or online, and it's a beautiful portal for that, but we're trying to do that by exploiting our connections that we have in person and actually not really being in deep, sacred connection with other people in that moment. Like there's so much beauty in presence, in conversation that's just in the moment that is not interrupted by let me just take a photo of this, let me just document this, let me just, and that's, again, people do what they need to do and it's totally okay. And I mean, I've done it in the past as well, but for me now, I just I just don't feel called to do that.
Mm-mm.
And I just want to have the memory in my heart rather than on my phone.
100%. I completely agree with this and I share that sentiment. And I think if I look back and reflect all the times, and again, no shade to anyone that does this. My best friend is like amazing on social media and shares everything, but it's really natural for her to do that. Doesn't come across forced, doesn't come across attention seeking. It's just who she is. And so I love that. And I love being up to date with her life. And I love that she shares so much of it because I feel like I'm constantly in the know, but I have no desire to do that whatsoever. I'm just like, also, I think my life is just so vanilla right now anyway. So there's that. But again, I think if I looked back, I was only ever doing those things for validation. See me. See my amazing relationship. Look at all the holidays I'm taking. Look at where I'm going to eat. It was just like so self-centered and self-absorbed. And now I'm like, I'll share this if it like supports you, if I find it of interest, if I want to start a conversation. Like now for the last 6 months, I haven't been able to do anything, but even if I had, I probably wouldn't be sharing about it because like you said, they're sacred moments. Like I want to be so present in those moments and so attentive to it. And sometimes I think like, oh, am I missing out on capturing really beautiful moments that I could keep forever? But I mean, I have 30,000 photos in my phone. I'm telling you now, I don't look through any of those photos on a regular basis.
Oh my God, I'm the same. That's so funny. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not about shaming anybody or judging anybody for them sharing, because I absolutely love looking at that. But it's the sentiment behind it, and you just have to do what feels right for you in the moment, and that might change down the track. Yeah. When our lives aren't so vanilla, they're all exciting. Maybe we'll be like, look at everything we're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I was the same where I felt like I was doing it to keep up or to please other people or to keep people engaged in my life. And that just doesn't interest me anymore.
No. And it looks fun. Like I would love to have like artistic, like awesome curated content, but I'm like, ugh, I cannot be bothered to do that. Not at all. That was a good segue. Good chat about motherhood. But now I'm going to segue without any ease and talk business and career and that sort of experience. I knew that this was going to be multifaceted because you're a multifaceted person and I knew motherhood would be a part of it. But I guess, you know, that's been an interesting to hear your experience through that. I think what I'd be keen to talk to now is like career and that experience and that journey. And I know that has been an experience of its own. But I guess I'd love to know more about how you went from osteopathy to doing what you're doing today in like energy clearing and coaching and mentoring and that sort of space.
Yeah. So where do I start?
Did you always want to be an osteopath? Like, was that always?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, where do I begin with this question? So
when I was 14, my first job.
No. So when I left school, I knew I was interested in something to do with the health space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and studied a human movement degree, Bachelor of Applied Science, and got kind of halfway through that and hated it.
Mm.
I was like, this just is so general and I was just over it.
I was just going to interrupt and say, anyone playing along at home, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but as an MG, open identity center, anyone else that's an open identity or MG, pay close attention or a triple split. What I'm hearing is you're going to self-graduate and you're going to be like, I'm done and time to move on. And society doesn't review that, but super, super true for you. Continue.
100%, 100%. So I got halfway through, it was only a 3-year degree, got halfway through it and I was like, this makes me want to vomit. I don't want to do this anymore. And it was a really strong get out of here. Yep. And I wanted to go, I literally just wanted to defer and do 6 months of floristry, right? Just go and learn how to be a florist because I've always had this real desire to go and be creative in that way, but more so to go and deliver the flowers and see how happy people are. I don't know what it is about that. One day I'll do it. But I was like, oh God, that just feels so joy-filled. And I wanted to do that. And at the time it wasn't encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And
damn society.
I was not really certain how to make that decision for myself at home. Like I was literally 20. nowadays 20-year-olds just go and do whatever the hell they want.
I know.
It was, you still ask your parents if you can go do the things. Yeah. So I completed that degree and convinced myself that I'm so glad I did that. Now going to lead me to something better.
So you did complete it?
Did it, yeah. Yeah.
So you should have self-graduated.
Yeah, that's really, but that's the thing is that I was always praised for, you know, being disciplined and getting through it and, you know, committing even when I didn't want to. Well done, you really applied yourself. And
completion.
Yeah, and that's something that I have always been very proud of myself is that I had this capacity to just get it done.
Yeah.
Now really learning how that just is very much out of integrity sometimes and it doesn't feel good even though we mentally take that and go, look at what a good girl I was. So I did that. Then I went to, I applied to get into myotherapy and physiotherapy thinking that, well, this is the next step because HM didn't really allow you to do anything other than like sports coaching or, you know, personal training, that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, that's not really what I want to do. So didn't get into either of the courses that I applied for, went and worked for a year in a hospital as allied health assistant, being like a physio assistant. And that was beautiful. That was like this level of independence that I hadn't experienced before. I was working full time. I made amazing friends, realized I didn't want to be a physio and then didn't really know what to do. So applied for osteopathy after speaking to a girlfriend who said it's much more holistic. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds a little bit more, you know, I guess woo-woo or a little bit more well-rounded. So let me apply for that and got into that. And that's a five-year degree. So you do 3 years to undergrad and then 2 years master's, right? So I got into that amazing, like bloody applied myself so hard to that degree. And this is like a 36-hour a week course, plus you go and work outside of that. So I was just go, go, go the whole time. And that suits my energy type, but I don't think I even had a moment to breathe and kind of question, is this for me or not?
Yeah. Right.
And I went through it and I loved it. I got to fourth year though, and I wanted out. I was done again. And I was also burning out. I'd done like 8 years. Oh, not quite at that point. I'd done 7 years of study and I was like, I'm just done. I don't know if I can get through my final year. And plus we had to write a thesis. So.
Oh, wow.
It was just a lot. And again, everyone was like, you've come this far. Are you crazy? Don't you dare leave. Da, 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 da. And I'm literally dreaming about floristry. I was like, I just want to go and be creative and do things that I feel are really fun and great for me. Anyway, I completed it. I was really proud of myself. And again, so grateful that I pushed through. Da, da, da. Now all the opportunities are there. Went and got a job. And after, within my first year, I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is not my career. And I thought, I just studied 8 years to come out and realize I don't want to do this. And by that point, I was 26. And I just thought, what else am I going to do? I can't, I'm 27 maybe. I can't keep studying. I don't know what it is that I want. I didn't know. I wasn't brought up really thinking outside of the box. It was like you go to school, you go to uni and you get a degree and you secure yourself and then you're able to, particularly as a woman, you're able to, like my mum was amazing in that she always said, you know, be able to earn, be able to earn, have your own money, be independent like that, blah, blah, blah. And so that was in my brain. I thought this has allowed me to be a doctor of osteopathy. I am a professional. And my mom and dad always were like, oh, you'll be a doctor when you grow up. And not to, they didn't never put pressure on me, but that dialogue happened. And I was like, I will be a doctor one day. And if I can't be a medical doctor because I didn't think I was smart enough, maybe I'll just be a doctor of osteo. So I felt really proud, but equally I'm like, I don't want to use the title doctor. I don't feel like I want that responsibility or that pressure. I don't really align with this. Anyway, kept studying. It was actually an amazing career to have while having babies because it allowed me so much versatility and it allowed me to just go back to work on my terms. So it actually served really well through having baby time. And then last year, obviously falling pregnant and having our youngest, I went on mat leave and it's funny because every single time I went on mat leave, I was like, I'm not going to return. This will be my out. I didn't have to go back. And I always had to go back just for financial reasons or for whatever reasons. And last year I left with the intention of coming back literally 3 months later because I was working in a clinic that I absolutely adore. And I was just treating babies and pregnant mamas. And I had the best boss who is now a beautiful, beautiful friend of mine. And it was the first clinic where I was like, oh, I actually really love this.
Mm.
And I got to the start of this year and I was meant to go back. My poor boss. I was like, I can't do it. Mm. I just can't do it. I have to let go and I have to afford myself the capacity to transition into something that I didn't know exactly what, but I need to allow this space to take place because I've wanted it since I was 20 and I'm now 39. So I had ignored it for like 18, 19 years.
Yeah, wow.
And so I said to Dave, my hubby, I'm like, I don't think I can go back. And I knew in my whole being, but of course I felt like I needed to have all the conversations and analyze it and pardon me, do all the things so that everybody else was on side and understood and supported me in it. And I'm like, just everybody listen, I'm quitting. I'm done. And so I left the industry, and I had already at this point been doing energy healing work, which just so naturally came about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was already doing that. And I thought, well, I can earn quite well doing that. And I was already doing some coaching or mentoring. So I'm just going to open all of that up and see where it goes. And so funny when you create this space and you think that you've got this plan ahead of you and that it's all going to work out, and it all just totally shifts. It's like this ever changing maze. And so my whole year has been my business absolutely changing and falling to the ground and needing to be rebuilt. And so much has changed. But I've not once said, oh no, should I go back to osteo?
Yeah, interesting.
So I was done. And so I did that. So I worked as an osteo for 12 years.
Wow.
It's
a long time to stick it out.
It's a long time to stick it out. And it didn't always feel good. And it's funny because I noticed in the last 5 years how much I changed clinics. Oh, I would just be like, oh, I'm unsettled and I'm done. And then so I'd go have a baby. Or I'd, you know, we'd move, or I'd just change clinics, or I'd do whatever, because it's like I needed that refresh, but the refresh was to leave.
Yeah.
I needed to just listen to that. And I just made it wrong in terms of, oh, the clinic's not right, or I don't want to treat adults anymore, or I don't want to do this. So it took a lot of courage to do that because it severely cut our family income.
Yeah.
And but I had to do it. Yeah. And so I don't regret it at all. And so this year has just been an interesting period of trial and error. And the things that have really stuck and worked are the really simple things, like my energy healings and mentoring. And I've done full circle and come back to it, and it feels really good because I'm seeing the value in those offerings. Not that I ever didn't, but you know, you get caught up when you suddenly committed fully and it's not a hobby anymore and you've committed fully to it. You're like, all right, what's everybody else doing? What do I have to do? Yes. And what's going to bring in, you know, how can I impact the most amount of people and generate, you know, support, financial support for my family? And it's like, at the end of the day, I don't know that we're all meant to impact millions and millions of people. I think we're meant to, you know, have really profound impact in certain people's lives in certain ways. And I think it's sometimes meant to be like that. People. And for others, it's meant to be this huge, grand, you know, impactful business experience. So I'm now doing that and I absolutely love it. And it fits in with my family and it seems to ebb and flow as my family needs it to. And it's very in tune with exactly what I need. Like my energy healings, people book in and it's always perfect.
Yeah.
Always exactly what I need in that moment. And I don't have to do anything to do that. And for me, that just shows, I guess, I hate using the word alignment, but it shows me what that feels like. It shows me what ease in business can be like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had the pleasure of experiencing an energy reading with you and, energy healing, or how do you term it? Healing session?
I've always had issues with what they're called. I used to call them distance energy healings. And I was like, it's not really a heal. Like I don't heal people, but I bring to light where they can focus on to heal for themselves. So I guess it's more I read their energy. So, I call them energy healings only because that's what I've always called them. But
But it feels healing. Like it really does feel healing because like it is everything that you need to say. Like everything that I heard talking from my own experience here was everything that I needed to hear. And then some. And then that's kind of, it gives you a trajectory towards healing because like, you know, people that are asking for that sort of support and guidance probably have things that they need to heal consciously or unconsciously, not even in like a broken sort of way, but just in like, you know, you need all, you know, you need things to heal over in order for you to move forward into new areas of growth and expansion in the self. But you are so natural at it, like so, so natural. And the things that come through, and I never questioned or doubted you in any way. Like as soon as you opened up this season of healings, I was like, yes, like I want to experience you in all of your greatness and in your gifts. How did you attune to that though? How did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, did you realize that you could do this and that you had this intuitive capabilities? Where did that stem from?
Such an interesting story.
I love interesting stories.
Oh my God. I might have told you this one before previously, but this is like the power of listening to your intuitive kids, right? So 5 years ago, not quite, just under 5 years ago, I just had my third baby and I had wanted to move to Queensland for some reason for literally about 4 years, but had not had the courage to do it. And so it got to this point where I could feel the pressure coming in and I was saying to Dave, I feel like we need to go. And he had just lost, like his job had just ended. Like they were cutting people, they were making people redundant. And it was like literally a month before I was due to have our third. And so he was kind of just working at gyms and doing some stuff. And it got to a point where I'm like, we don't actually have anything here that we truly need to stick around for. You could get a job up there, let's go. So I was like, we're going to Queensland, just letting you all know we're going to Queensland. Mm-hmm. And we packed up three little humans and our whole house in 3 weeks. MG energy there. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do it. I'm like Tasmanian devil. And we left and we got up there and we had no plan, which is the biggest mistake ever. And our youngest was literally 7 months old and Dave had a job there, but it was a little bit loose. And we arrived and I instantly felt sick. And I was like, oh my God, what have we done? Just all of it landed. And I was like, oh my God, we're actually here. This is not like just this dream now.
Mm.
And within 4 days, there was a girl, a lady that I had met on Instagram, and she was like, oh, you're here. And she lived up there. She's like, let me come over and, you know, give you a big hug and da da da. Anyway, she literally 4 days later, she came over and we were talking and she was talking about this like gallbladder pain. And how she'd had it since she'd had her daughter and da da da. And I was like, oh, that's a bit odd, you know, cool. I'm like, okay. And then she left and she messaged me that night and she's like, oh, this pain is like still really here. It comes up every now and then. Can you just tap into it and just treat it from afar, like do osteo? And so there's a form of osteo that you can do. I've actually spoken to this in one of my podcasts. So if you've listened to that, sorry. But you can do like craniosacral therapy, which is where you can connect with people's rhythms and like physiologically, but also I feel their energetic rhythm.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, look, I'm just going to feel from afar and whatever. And so I sat and I imagined her there in front of me and I tapped into her energy. And with the specific idea of like, what is this gallbladder liver pain about and where does she need release? And I received all of this information and it was about her marriage and, you know, babies lost. And I didn't know her that well. So I actually had no idea about what her life had entailed up until this point. I just knew she was a nurse lady that I've been talking to about, you know, non-toxic beauty products, because that's what I was blogging about at the time. And that's kind of as far as we had gotten. And all this information came through and I kind of came out of it and I was like, did I just fall asleep and have a dream?
Wow.
Anyway, I obviously felt safe enough with her to say, look, this stuff came through. I'm just going to tell you what it was and see what happens. And she just had burst into tears and said, that has all happened. And I won't go into detail because it's her private business, but I was just blown away and I thought, what the hell just happened? Like, what? And so I just contacted any friend that would be open to it and just said, look, I just need to tap into your energy, or I don't know, do this thing. Are you okay for me to do that? And so I did, and this information kept coming through and coming through and coming through. And at the time, the way that I received it, it was very like I saw their life happening. I saw moments in their childhood where there was like an incident or an imprint that would take place that their soul is now carrying, and it was impacting how they were showing up or how it was manifesting some way in their adult life. And so all these things would happen. And I had another really good friend who we had trained. I was a personal trainer while I was studying, and we trained her for like 15 years, and she's still in her life. She's beautiful and she's older. But I didn't really know her upbringing, and stuff was coming through about her life that I would never, ever have imagined, like ever. And I remember she didn't get back to me for a while, and I was like, oh, my God, do you hate me? Like, what's going on? She's like, everything you said was true, right down to what I was wearing.
Wow.
I was just like, holy shit. That was the moment where I realized how serious it was and how I need to respect what this gift is, and I need to take it seriously if I want to move forward with it.
Mm.
And so I did, and it's evolved, and it's now more a form of kind of tapping into somebody's energy at this point where they're at. There will sometimes be moments of, oh, this happened when you were younger, or there's something around this that happened. Can we, you know, explore that? So it will give me a really good insight into what somebody is experiencing now on a human level.
Mm.
I get to feel all of their imprints. I get to feel all of their programming and what's going on for them and where they're holding themselves back, and all the stuff and the dynamics in their relationships, and what needs to happen there if they want to bridge that gap between their human, like humanness and their soul expression. And so then I can also feel their higher self or their soul expressing through, saying, this is what's available. This is your potential. This is what's possible for you. And I get to feel both of those and deliver it to people through a voice recording that allows them to experience both expression, where they can go, oh, okay, this is what is calling on me, but this is also where I'm holding myself back and not seeing it. And to do that feels like the biggest gift I could give anybody. Like everybody's searching for their meaning. Everybody's searching for, what am I meant to do? Why is this relationship not working? What's, you know, how am I stepping up as a parent? What career am I meant to be doing? Most people come with those questions saying, career, just feeling a little bit stuck and stagnant. What direction do I go in? And to be able to connect in and go, okay, you're not communicating in this way, and your relationship, it feels like you're giving more and he's not, or other way around, or whatever it is. And being able to tap into, this is what your partner is like, so this is how you get to show up together, or this career feels like it's expired, or I see you more in this direction. And so many people will say, oh, my God, that's so funny, because I want to enroll in this course to study, you know, this. And I'll be like, yeah, there you go. Go. That's the permission that you perhaps were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so their soul gets to come through really fiercely like that. And for them to be able to experience that access, because a lot of people really don't know how to connect into that for themselves.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. And the things that people have done with the information that I've given is mind-blowing. And I sometimes don't think I sit in the honor of that enough because it's so normal for me to be able to just receive this information and just say, oh, yeah, this is happening for you right now, right? That I forget how impactful it can be. And I've had women who have moved across the country to go and heal, you know, a co-parenting relationship, and they've had really hard conversations, and suddenly they're like, oh my God, everything I imagined to be true is available for me in this relationship now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like so powerful, so powerful. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of transitioned to that rather than, oh, this happened in your life and that's still hanging around, so you need to deal with that. It's now, you know, these things are impacting you, and this is how you can kind of go about it. So so that's how it kind of came about, and it's just growing and growing and growing now.
That's awesome. I feel like the best things in life happen by chance, or we're not trying, we're not efforting, we're not like, you know, I guess you probably had that experience and didn't even think too far down the road. You just kind of sat in the excitement of it and took one step, and then it kind of landed you here. Whereas, and I don't know, I might be speaking out of line here, or I might be projecting my own experiences, but I feel like sometimes when we like look too far in the future, like we lose sight of what feels good in the moment in the effort of just like achieving that thing in the future. Like, and we're conditioned as kids, right, to have direction, to have goals, to go to, like exactly what you said before, go to school, finish school, go to uni, finish uni, get a job, like live and breathe that job, retire, then have a life. Like, So it's like a real conditioned way of behaving. But then you have these moments of just utter serendipity and synchronicity, and you're just like, wow, this feels so good right now. And you just follow it and look where it has taken you, you know, all these years later. And I'm in awe of it. The fact that you can do that literally blows my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I wish you could teach me, but it can't be taught because it's just so, so ingrained. And I think everyone has different variations of intuition, which is essentially what you're speaking to, right? Like you're intuiting this information.
Yeah.
And it's coming exactly. through visuals. Like, do you get mostly visuals?
Yeah. So I get visuals. I get just a sense of things. And I also hear. So I'll receive mantras for people which are specific for them. I've connected with people who have passed over and actually had conversations to try and, you know, bridge gaps and start to help with any confusion that might be there, or if the people who are still here are like, I don't know if he knew this, and I can connect and do that. But I receive it in all different senses. Yeah. I mostly see it, but it's just this strong knowing where I'm like, I know that to be true. And yeah. I'll send off, I remember I used to send off the information and be like, oh God, I have to wait for them to get back to me and see if it's true. I hope that I got it right. Like I was still in that paradigm of I have to get things right because otherwise it's wrong.
Yeah.
And now I just know that there's truth in it and that that's all there is. And if people are willing to receive it, then they'll see it within themselves. Yeah. If they're resisting it, then they'll be like, no, that's not true. I'm like, just sit with it for a while. Yeah. Just sit with it. Because often that will be when people are just going, I don't want to admit that I'm antagonizing my relationship in this way, or I don't want to admit that I'm not listening to my intuition and she's highlighting that to me. So I agree with what you said before in terms of if you project forward, I think we bring our social conditioning into it.
Yeah.
Like what we are conditioned to think. And I think if I had have projected forward, I would have made it about how many clients do I need? How much money will I make? Yes. Da, 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 da. Am I qualified enough? Like I had moments like that throughout where I'm like, I can't do this anymore because I'm not trained in it specifically. And what is my family going to think? I didn't even tell them about it. We don't even have conversation about it now. But I felt so fearful to bring it to light. And so osteo was kind of a hiding place for me. Yeah. And I just got stronger and stronger and braver, I guess, in it. And it all did fall into place, right down to things like I would just go, I need to raise my prices now. I don't know why, but it just feels right. And so I would, and there would be no question about it. There'd be no problem. And I think if I projected forward and thought, where could this go? What could this do? I would have veered so far off track that I would have lost my capacity to just tune in and be in that magic for people and for myself. And also let it flow in and out of my life in the way that it does. And like even now this year, I've tried to create structure around it through having seasons and it's meddled with it. I can feel it. Okay. I feel that it's meddled with it, and I can feel the universe going, hold up, lady, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
This is its own entity that you are just the vessel for. You just stay open and manage your own energy about this. And I feel like I've structured it into a business this year.
Yeah.
And it just
so interesting.
It just doesn't need that. So I'll be stripping that. Where I'm like, I'm just available, people, apparently. I'll and take this, Christmas off, you know.
Yeah, but this is the thing, like you need that experience to know that it's stifling. Like you need the contrast. I don't know if you know much about Abraham Hicks. I don't, but you do. My friend has gotten me onto it recently, and she's like, it's all about contrast. You need the contrast. You're not going to know without the contrast. And I'm like, you know what? Abraham's onto something. Like you do need that. You do. Like you need that contrast of that doesn't feel good. And I only know through doing it that it doesn't feel good, or it felt good for a little bit and now it no longer serves me. And so then you pivot, and this is as an MG, just pivot, like keep pivoting, like don't become attached to it.
Yeah. Which is challenging because I mean, I still fall into that space of, oh, but how is that going to be perceived? I'm going to be seen as like this loose, can't make up her mind, always changing. I can't trust her. That's what I tend to have concern about, I guess, but it's only because I don't have a lot of faith in people that do that. I feel really nervous around people who are changing all the time, but it's because I haven't embraced it in myself.
Yeah, totally. And I, you know, what came to my mind just then as you were saying that, it's kind of like, it's a bad example, but you know, in Pitch Perfect, how Rebel Wilson's character, she calls herself Fat Amy and she does it so that no one else can like shame her. It's kind of like if you call that shit out within yourself, then people, like you've got the upper hand. Like, and I do this now in business. I'm like, oh, well, that fucked up. that offering didn't work, guys. So we're just going to forget that happened. But it's so liberating because then people are like, they'll celebrate you instead of judging you, because it's like, I've already beat you to it. So like, there's really nothing left for you to say. So I think it's just in that ownership, right? Of like you said, the full embrace. Like when you embrace that, then yeah, you have less resistance to it elsewhere as well.
Totally. But also opening up that opportunity to see your own magnificence.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, things may not work, but are we overriding it with that whole idea of, I'm just going to be totally transparent here, which is absolutely fine. And I think that there's real beauty in that, because it allows people to go, oh, she's just real. But I also think there's a really fine line between dropping into that and pretending like we're not magnificent.
Totally. That's a good point.
Okay, that wasn't a fit for right now. Perhaps it needs to be in a different format. Perhaps it needs to be in a different time. Perhaps I'm not quite ready. But that doesn't take away from my greatness.
Totally.
Because it didn't work. And so I don't get to make a joke at myself just because I'm afraid I'll look like a flake.
That's a really good distinction too. Like, there's ownership and then there's like copping out on yourself, I suppose.
Totally. And you'll know the difference, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, if it feels really good and it feels totally okay to go, oh, that did not work.
Yeah.
That's the kind of relationship that you have with your business, where there's pure transparency. Beautiful. Yeah. I think that that's really powerful, as long as it's not taking away from your greatness and then kind of tarnishing the next offer, because you've already got this whole idea of like, oh, God, well, if it fucks up, I'll just tell them, or, you know. That kind of thing. But it's so multi-layered.
Just keep coming into being like, well, that one didn't work either.
What is she doing that actually does work?
So true. But definitely a good point, because we are all magnificent. I think you kind of answered this question, but I'll ask it. I don't know. I feel like I have the answer in it. But did you have moments where you doubted yourself and what was coming through, like particularly in the beginning with like your intuitiveness? It sounds like you did, but you worked through it. And like, you always remained in trust with that.
Yeah, I think the only part of me that doubted it was my brain as opposed to my heart. I knew the whole way through that this was perfect. Look back and I think, oh, God, people used to pay me to do that. But I had to do it that way in order to be able to get to where I'm at right now. And I am always very open with clients saying, look, it's probably going to transition again to be even broader or even deeper or even more specific or even whatever it has to be. And I think when I've doubted myself, it's been a moment of transition. Anytime that I've felt like I needed to pull back or take a break, there's always been an upgrade that takes place. Mm-hmm. And so my capacity to listen to that, and that's why having, you know, the way that I've structured it right now isn't working, because it's like I'm trying to schedule the upgrades and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But I have absolutely doubted myself, not as much in the healings, more in mentoring and coaching, where I'm like, oh, God, can I hold space for this person in this capacity? Because I had this idea around what that looked like. My energy healings are their own form. I've never come across anybody else who's done it in this way. And so I had no base to compare. And I honestly never wanted to, because I knew that if I stepped into that, how are other people doing it, then I would completely stomp all over what I can do and my own intuitive expression. And I mean, like I said, like you said, everybody has this capacity, but there have been moments of doubt, but never to the point of feeling like I need to quit it or stop it. It's just always been, when I've felt doubt, it's been me worrying that somebody won't receive it in the way. So it's just been a small challenge for me to back myself and go, you're doing this out of integrity, because this is what's coming through, and I have to just trust what's coming through. Because there will be moments where I'll see visions and I'm like, oh God, the relationship they're in is not right. Am I seeing this right? Maybe I'm not. Let me just, you know, I would go through moments like that, and now I'm like, it's just not right. Like, I trust it, but I let that timeline be for them, and I don't always necessarily say it's not the right relationship, get a divorce, but I'll just say, you know, there's maybe areas that
let them figure it out.
Yeah, well, it's not my place as well to impose in that way. But you know, there's micro moments where I'll doubt, or I used to. I don't anymore at all.
That's awesome.
And it's always just the moments where I'm like, there's more for me to experience now, so step into that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like like doing the human design readings as well, from my perspective, I feel like we have like, we walk similar paths in this way. Like, and I'm being held by a modality with like a whole foundation of information. So I even feel like there's that compared to like intuitive nature, but I am trying to lean into intuition a little bit more. Anywho, my point is like you deliver it, you do it, you feel so confident, and then you send it and you're like, oh my God, I really hope that lands. I really hope that makes sense. I hope that's true for you. And then you, 9 times out of 10 or even 10 out of 10 times, you get a response where it's like, oh my God, you hit the nail on the head, or, you know, I so knew this, but like it needed that fed back to me and illuminated. And you're just like, okay. And I feel like every time you get that message and that reply, you just grow and grow in confidence towards
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. To the point that I send it off now and I don't think about it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Like it just doesn't even cross my mind. And they'll reply and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, I used to kind of wait for people to respond. And now I'm more like, you receive it however you need to receive it. And most people don't. Well, no, most people do reply, but a good hunk of people don't let me know how it lands for them. And that's fine. That's their right. They can do what they want with it. So
Yeah,
I don't doubt it at all. I think if anything, this year I've stepped into it more fiercely and owned it more than I ever have, because I just think it's finally, I feel like it's finally landed. And there's now a period of, you can sit here now for a bit. This is how it's going to be delivered. This is what it is. This is how it is most impactful for people. And I feel most liberated, I guess, in it.
Yeah.
So I actually feel really comfortable and really confident and really happy in it. And I've always wondered if there was something more outside of it, or I was limiting myself. And I don't feel like that anymore. And a lot of that is thanks to you as well, because you did help me a bit through my reading, through my HD reading. And I was like, oh, it's okay. It's like, it's actually okay.
Yeah, totally. And also you kind of let go of it at the beginning of the year, didn't you? These energy healings, like you took a big break from it. And sometimes we need that. Like you do something so consistently for a big chunk of your life and like you get to that crossroads and obviously, and like, I don't think anyone knew what 2021 was going to bring. I think we all thought it was going to be better than 2020 and then it just shat all over 2020. but like, I feel like a lot of people have had this experience where they had to literally let go of everything to see what then reemerged, like what was going to come back, what was going to fit, like what we, like sometimes you have to let go of everything to then pick back up the things that it meant for you. I did the exact same thing, like with nutrition. I completely let go of that. Even human design, I completely let go of that. And I just sat in nothingness for like 3 months and then like things started rising up again. And then you're like, oh, I actually forgot how much I love this and how much I miss it. And I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. And then it reinvigorates it. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think with you, I can see how much of your intuition has come into it. And I've obviously experienced it. And I think perhaps your break, and this was definitely for me, the break was there for you to remember who you are in this, rather than stepping into this identity of like, oh, I do human design readings, or oh, I do energy healings. It's like, no, it's just a part of me that's expressed, and as I grow, it grows.
Yeah.
And that gets to happen. But I agree with you. I think 2021 has just been the death of so much, you know, relationships, work, everything. And the rebirth of those things.
Yeah. And now we're in Scorpio season, so it's like amplified.
Great.
On steroids. But I agree. And I think it's necessary. And sometimes you have to turn that darker corner to like reemerge towards the light. Oh my gosh, who am I?
You absolutely are spot on. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, it really is. I think we should maybe wrap it up. I feel like we've been talking for a long while. Is there anything else you want to say or end on, or anything you wanted to share that I haven't asked you?
Not necessarily. No, I'm just so grateful that you were happy to have this conversation. I love chatting with you, and I think this has been a really grounding experience for me anyway. So thanks.
No, my pleasure. You are one of my favorite people to chat with. And I was like, we riff so much offline. Let's put it online. Let's do this. So no, it's been fun. Thank you so much. For everyone that is listening and playing along, where can they find you? How can they connect with your work? I know you've only, it's what, early November now, got a couple of weeks left of your healings for this season, or are you going to change? Are you going to pivot?
thing. Yeah.
I love it.
But this season is closing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This season will close at the end of this week. So I don't even know if it'll be out. This episode will be out by then. But there's always space to reach out to me and pop yourself on the wait list, or look, let's face it, when I have time, I'll probably squeeze you in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be opening up in the new year for sure in a different capacity. So people can reach me at, I'm just trying to think, what do I put past? Instagram at Bridget Sandell.
Yep.
That's BRIGIDSANDELL. Or you can email me at bridgetsandell@gmail.com. So, so I'll be closing out my healings at the end of this week for this year, and I'm just opening up two more private mentoring client positions that will start towards the end of November, start of December. So, and that'll be it for me for the rest of this year. And then next year we'll see what comes. So
yeah, what the fresh 2022 energy brings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I'll include all of that in the show notes as well. But thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you got something magical out of this episode today. If you want to keep the conversation flowing, head over to the gram where you can find me at annalise.madrell, or stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes at Coming From Experience, all one word. Be sure to share this podcast with a special someone who you think might gain a lot out of this conversation, and be sure to leave a review and let me know what you think. Until next time.